Connie and I were at Yellowstone National Park. As we were traveling around, you can make those different loops to different places, up across ridges, and the beauty of that park is something else. We were coming out into one of those great, what they call park areas, where it's just grass and you see buffalo and all kinds of different things out and around the edges. And there was this huge group of people who were gathered around a park ranger. And the park ranger was looking through a spotting scope. What you couldn't see with the naked eye, and even with a set of binoculars, which really spited me because I had a pair of binoculars at home and failed to bring them on the trip. But off about 2 miles away, at the edge of the grassland where it met with the forest, there was a group of gray wolves moving around. And the park ranger was just telling everyone about what was happening with those gray wolves. And if we wanted to see the gray wolves, we had to get in line to look through the spotting scope to see them. And I think that this is an analogy that we need to think of when we're talking about Bible study, when we're looking into Scripture to recognize how deep we're going, how narrow a field of vision goes. Because this pair of binoculars is wide angle, and yet you only see a field of vision 430 feet at a thousand feet out. That's 8 magnification. The field of vision on a scope like this goes all the way to 50 power. And the field of vision at 1,000 feet is down to just 8 or 10 feet. So you see how narrow you're getting. And when we're doing Bible study and we're getting into Scripture, we're doing that same kind of thing. The field of vision gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And think about it, you know, I've talked about that when we read the book of Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, on the face of it, it's easy to see how it's divided into two parts. That there's this break that takes place in what Paul is teaching or sharing chapter 4. Up to then, he's been talking about Jesus Christ and all he did. And then he moves, and the second half is focused on our response as followers. If we turn the magnification up another notch, on that second portion, we see that there are three different sections in the letter. And it roughly follows chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6. That first part, last Sunday's sermon, was focused on becoming mature. The center section that I've entitled about Live as Children of Light is that center section. And then next week we will look at the third section, which is talking about the spiritual armor. But let's take that center section. We're going to turn the magnification up and discover, again, there are three sections in this. He starts off moving into this center section, talking about how we live, how we follow Jesus Christ, we see that there's this whole area of what we put off of the old self and put on as the new self. Then a center section, which picks up this idea of the light, being in the light. That would be chapter 5, verses 3 to 20, live as children of light. And then we see in 5:21, it changes again and talks about lifestyle in the family of God or in the household. But I want us to even turn the magnification up again on the center section. You think about it, we're getting center and center and center. And we come to the section that was part of it that was read in the scripture reading. For the first part, in 5:3-7, talks about that as a follower of Christ, there is to be no immorality. There is no impurity, no greed. And along with that, we need to stay away from bad language, coarse language, joking that is crude. And then we have that center section, children of light facing darkness, which goes from verse 8 to verse 14. And then the third section is about being wise as a follower of Christ. Hang on here. We're going to turn the magnification up one more time. Listen to the center section of this. Verses 8 to 14. I want to read them again. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases God, pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it is said, sleeper, or wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the very center of this whole section of the second half of Ephesians, the letter. And I hold out to you, we're at the very deepest, the core of what is at the heart of what Paul has been working from. He works into this and he works out of this. These words here, these ideas, you see going back from where he's been leading to this and where it goes from here. That in these verses, following Jesus, we become light. Light in the Lord. We are to live as children of light, bearing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's interesting because prior to that, Paul had said earlier in verses 3 to 7, let there be no immorality, impurity, and greed. And now he's saying the fruit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So live as children of light is the command here. The second one, find out what pleases the Lord. Thirdly, expose darkness. Because something amazing happens. When the light of God's truth shines into the darkness doesn't just disappear, it's transformed into light. And then those, what's often held in italics or put in special section there, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. These words are thought to be a hymn of the ancient church in Paul's time. It is sung as the child or the person who is being baptized comes up out of the water, as comes out of their baptism. They have fallen asleep in the Lord. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is where Paul wants us to be focused. It is a powerful way of then looking at and understanding what has come before and after. So let's back out now one of those steps and look what it means to be putting on Christ, to be a child of light. Well, first of all, that first section that led into this, Paul says, put off the old self and put on the new self. Lies are to be replaced with truth. Anger is to be replaced with peace. Theft is to be replaced with generosity. Gossip is to be replaced with encouragement. Revenge is to be replaced with forgiveness. Promiscuity is to be replaced with self-control. And drunkenness is to be replaced with the very Spirit of God. Transformation is taking place. When the light of God, when the light of the Lord shines on our lives, and our lives become are seen for what they are, and we have to live in the truth. And so goes all the way down through here. Recognizing that our lives as followers of Christ need to be focused not on what the old self, which Paul had talked about, this is the way the Gentiles live. This is the way the secular society lives. This is outside the church. But inside, the church and its people need to be people of truth, peace, generosity, encouragement, forgiveness, self-control, and the Spirit of God. If that isn't what we are about, let the light of God shine on us and expose us for where we need to be further transformed by the light of Christ in our lives. So that was we had that section, putting off the old and putting on the new, living as children of light, and now this other section talking about the household rules or code. And he starts off with verse 21. And there's a lot of controversy. Does verse 21 fit with being children of light, or does it fit with the household code? And I submit to you, it does both. It is the link between those two. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then he talks about the social code of households that are There were rules and understandings outside in the world, and what Paul lays out for inside the church in these households is directly it's different. It is revolutionary. It is, again, a light shined on darkness. And so he starts off first shining the light on society's position of what wives are to be in that society, and he presents something totally new. That the wives are living out their relationships with their husbands in a different kind of way. And then he goes on to the strong, what he tells husbands to do. This would not be supported by anything other than what was happening in the church. Because what Paul is talking about in this mutual submission, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, he is taking what would have been a contractual understanding in the world, in the society that they lived. A marriage was a contract with a contract that the husband held over the wife. But if they are to be in mutual submission, though, that contract language is taken out of the church, and we start to talk about again the biblical understanding of a covenant relationship. But he doesn't stop there. He talks about children and parents, specifically fathers, again, telling the children who have this second class, they're not adults yet, they are considered property or under the governance of the father, and he raises them up to an idea of respect for their parents. And Paul is taking that relationship of father and he's leveling it up. Again, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The relationships become more equal, more sharing, more equal. I just think of that one line, you know, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't frustrate them. In society, there was, father could do whatever he wanted to his children, but he's asking for something different. And then, of all things, he takes out that the other relationship that's in the household, and that's between masters and slaves. And again, note how it comes up. He starts with the weaker again, talks about slaves, and talks about how their attitude could be different than what they were used to. And at the same time, he brings the master's relationship because of the understanding of brothers and sisters in Christ, there's an equalization taking place. So this section of the letter is challenging God's people in a lot of different ways. We need to look at ourselves. And as we operate as a congregation, do we recognize the importance of leaving behind worldly ways, society's ways, and be focused on the Lord's truth, peace, generosity, encouragement, forgiveness, self-control, and God's Spirit? And in our relationships, within our own homes, can we think again of mutual submission? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We need to continually work at this. And Paul puts it out there for them to look at. If we are going to be living as children of light, we're going to be constantly working against the pressure of society trying to conform us into their likeness, rather than being transformed by the light of Christ shining upon us. How much, and I hold out to you that the only way we can do this is to be centered on Jesus Christ. We don't take our cues from what is being shared to us by society around us. We take our cues from Jesus Christ and how different and important he lived his life in the world. How much of the old self is still hanging on? Do we take time to say, Lord, show me by your light what is yet to be transformed by your power? I need more truth, more peace, more generosity, more encouragement, giving encouragement to others, more forgiveness of others, more self-control, more of your spirit. Lord, show me where I need this. And where we work as a congregation together, where do we need to open our lives up as a congregation in our work around us? And what about those relationships inside our homes? Am I where I should be at in submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ within this household, the body of Christ, and in our homes as well? This is the very core of what Paul is about. Paul doesn't just say, just know the first half of Ephesians and everything is going to be all right. We hear that all the time, even in Christian churches, just believe the right thing. But it doesn't take place. There's that whole area of discipleship, of how we express our devotion to Christ. Live as children of light. May it be so with us.